It remains one of the highest stats, indeed, of hate crime since records began back in 2004. Now, attacks in Orange Halls have increased markedly. Homophobic hate crime remains high, with no significant change, actually, in the last 2 years, but it is high. Disturbingly, fewer than a fifth of the racist hate crimes result in a prosecution. We'll speak to Patrick Corrigan from Amnesty International, who's been looking closely at the report. Patrick, good morning.
Morning, Frank.
Patrick, it's sad to think that it's as bad as it is, but I suppose one of the telling lines there is, since records began in 2004, hate crime before 2004 was far higher than it is now.
Well, perhaps we don't know. Certainly, obviously, during the period of the Troubles, there was an awful lot of sectarian-motivated violence, but we simply don't have the figures because the PSNI didn't collect them. But what we do know, from the point where they started collecting these figures, were a whole range of categories of hate crime, racist hate crime, sectarian hate crime, religiously motivated hate crime, homophobic hate crime, that since records started in 2004, the last 3 years have seen the highest figures across those categories. So we have a problem that over time has been getting worse, and it seems to be stubbornly high. And I think that the executive, the police and others in authority really need to have a close rethink about the strategies being deployed to tackle this hate crime, whether this be about prosecuting the offenders or whether it be about starting at an early age and doing education work. Across the board, we are failing to tackle hate crime. That's the bottom line that these figures reveal.
One of the most obvious victims in all of this is the Orange Order and the attacks on Orange Halls. What can we do as a society to protect our Orange Halls?
Well, you know, I think that we need to breed a culture of tolerance, of acceptance, of celebration, of diversity, to say that just because you don't agree with somebody's politics or you have of a different religion or different worldview, that doesn't mean that you shouldn't celebrate the right of others to hold an alternative viewpoint and that they have an equal and valued place in our society. I think we're failing at that at the moment, and there's this sort of traditional zero-sum game in Northern Ireland where green is the opposite of orange and vice versa, and that there seems to be some motivation to do down other by attacking their places of worship or their places of sort of association, such as Orange Halls. And that has been a problem that has grown over the years, and this last year has seen a disturbing growth in those figures, including just in the months of this year already. We've seen quite a number of such attacks, and we've seen them in the past as well on GAA clubs, on churches of various views, on other places of worship. And I think that, you know, we need to be sending out a signal from the top down that this sort of behaviour is unacceptable. And for the police, they need to be holding to account those who are responsible. Of course, oftentimes that's easier said than done. But if we look, for instance, at racist hate crime, the figures reveal that fewer than one in five of such incidents reported to them result in any outcome. And that outcome, it could be a prosecution, it could be a warning, or it could be that the case is closed without any sort of prosecution or any action happening against the offender. So that means that in over 80% of cases of racist incidents reported to the police, effectively nothing happens. The offender isn't identified, the offender gets off scot-free. And I think while that culture of impunity persists in Northern Ireland, whether it be for racist, sectarian, homophobic or other forms of hate crime, then I think that we are going to have this persistent problem, because those who are so motivated by hatred that they will attack person or property will simply feel like they get away with it.
They certainly do get away with it. I wonder, in terms of getting the message across to those who may be hell-bent on destroying an Orange Hall down the road from them or attacking maybe a GAA club that's in their general vicinity, if the next time an Orange Hall is burned, there's a fundraising campaign run in the general community, in the greater parish area, by, for example, the GAA or the Ancient Order of Hibernians or indeed the local schools or whatever, where the whole community gets together to help to rebuild the Orange Hall, or vice versa, if it's a GAA ground, that people get together who wouldn't normally be next nor near the vicinity, but who do see it as an acceptable building because it is part of the general culture of the area. Do you think, are we getting any closer to that, or do people tend to just say it's a real shame that that was burned and then turn a blind eye to it, allow the other side to correct the issue or to repair the damage?
Well, you know, Frank, I think that is a terrific idea. I mean, I think sometimes people think, oh, insurance will deal with that, and they shrug their shoulders and think that due process and then insurance claims will see to it. But what that doesn't do, what the simple financial transaction of an insurance claim doesn't do, is sort of heal the wounds in people's hearts and the feeling that they and their place in the community is disrespected. So I think that if we did, the next time there was such an attack, did see the community, in particular people from what, you know, would be seen as the other side of the community, actually led the rallying round, led the cleanup, led the fundraising, I think that would do an awful lot more than fix broken windows and clear the graffiti off orange halls or other buildings. I think that would heal an awful lot of those wounds of hurt that people, of course, feel at the moment. And I think we have seen examples of that in the past. And I think in particular of when there have been racist attacks as well, and when neighbours have rallied round and helped people clear up and send a strong signal to say, you know, you are welcome in this community. Whoever has done this is not welcome, but you are welcome. And I think that same response run right across all of these categories of hate crime and hate incidents would be a tremendous signal to those who are victims of these crimes.
It is good when you do see people step forward and help, to use that term again, the other side. Sometimes individuals are fearful. They think, well, if I go down to the Orange Hall and start mopping it out because it's been burned, or if I get a skip organised and get rid of the rubbish, or indeed I run a raffle to buy, you know, new banners or even to rebuild the unit, those people who damaged it will probably come put a petrol bomb through my window. There's an element of fear, isn't there?
Of course, you know, that's sadly how much of Northern Ireland life is inhibited, because people are fearful, and not simply of words spoken against them within the community, but actually of direct violence against their homes, against their families, against their property. And we know that is a problem in many communities across Northern Ireland, that people are afraid to put their heads above parapets. But, you know, that's why we have community leaders and elected political leaders, because we task them with showing leadership. They are already in the public eye. They are already inured to the slings and arrows of sort of public discourse and people taking again them for certain things they say. So I think that they have a particular responsibility when these forms of attacks happen to rise above the traditional divides and to stand up there and show leadership. And I think that would do an awful lot of good in sort of bringing our community forward and making these hate crimes across all of these different categories sort of increasingly a thing of the past, to say, no, that is not welcome within our community. And actually we as community leaders and the community groups within a particular area, we will stand with the victims, because we won't stand for this sort of behaviour towards our neighbours. And that's what it comes down to. Every victim of these crimes, homophobic, racist, sectarian or other, they are our neighbours. And I think that's sort of the true spirit, I think, of being a good citizen, is to stand up for your neighbour.
Patrick, thank you very much indeed. Patrick Corrigan from Amnesty International. Have you any examples of people standing up for their neighbour? And I particularly would be referring to your Orange Hall as being attacked. Has there been someone generally who you wouldn't have seen next or near the Orange Hall putting their hand in their pocket to help you rebuild it, or running a night whereby you could organise the reinstatement of what you had in the hall previously, or vice versa? You know, did something happen in your community, maybe in a GA hall, and you're really impressed by those who came forward to assist? Unexpected, from unexpected quarters. 90 333 105 is the number. Other examples would be, of course, whenever someone is attacked on a racist ticket. How strong is the community? How embracing is the community? How welcoming is that community towards the person who has been attacked? And if it's someone who's in your street or down the street from you who's maybe going to move out as a result of it, do you make an effort to go down and say, listen, it wasn't on behalf of me, that petrol bomb. I wish you every good blessing in the future. Or do you just sort of stay in the house,